have a good radio voice? Wouldn't you listen to him on the radio? You need to, come on, somebody. You need to step up there. All right, so I'm going to give you guys a little introduction, and we're going to get going because I have 23 pages of notes for you guys today. I don't know if we're going to get through all of it, but we'll try and see what happens here. I'm Fabian. He gave an awesome introduction of who I am. My wife and I, we've been married since June 24th, 2013. So we're coming up on our 6-year anniversary here. We made it, you guys. We got long time to go. And so we are parents of two amazing sons. We have my dog Hendrix and my cat Frenchie. And I was telling the over the weekend, I was letting them know that I really, really, really enjoy my animals. They're really like children to me, and I have this obsession. Don't laugh, but I have this obsession with my dog's paws. I love the smell of his paws. For some, anybody else know what I'm talking? Yeah, I'm not the only weird one. I just love the smell of his paws, and I miss him so much. I miss my wife too, but I really miss my dog. I miss my dog Hendrix and my cat Frenchie. I wish I had pictures to show them, of and my wife as well too. Wait, here's my wife, Bethany. Maybe I don't know if you guys will be able to. You probably won't be able to see this, but if you want to see a picture of my wife, she's on my screen here. That's my wife, Bethany. I wish that she was here with me, but you know, praise. Yes, she is gorgeous, honey. Yes, she is. She is gorgeous. She's my precious honey. And so it's just an honor to be here. My second time being here in Canada, reusing my passport. It's just an honor to be here. I love what God is doing in this church. And you know what's really awesome is that I see multicultural here, and that is what it's going to be like in heaven. So you're just practicing what heaven is doing in this church. It's just amazing. So kudos to you guys for coming to church every single Sunday, doing life together, hallelujah. And that stems from having amazing parents here, pastors here. Give your parents a round of applause here. Just honor there. Thank you so much for allowing me to step on your stage. You know, this is a really big deal. You know, pastors, as pastors, you are in charge of a flock, and so you have to protect your flock, you know. And so I don't take this opportunity for granted that you allowed me to be here this morning. I honor you guys. Thank you guys for pushing forward all these years as pastoring a church. It is not it's not the most easiest thing to do to pastor people, because people got problems. And they and they like to, you know, blame the pastor and not pay their tithes and you know, can't pay the bills at the church, you know. And so there's a lot that goes into pastoring a church, and your pastors have been doing this for years now, and they have fought the good fight of faith, and they are finishing their race, you know. And so give it up for them one more time. Thank you so much. All right, so I got a couple minutes here. I'm going to try to get through these 23 notes. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you guys a story. As you guys know, I went to Rhema Bible College, also went to Rhema Bible Church, and while I was there, I was able to do amazing things with the ministry there. Every ministry, every church, you know, they're not perfect. Rhema isn't the most perfect place in the world. You know, I remember when I first got there, you know, I was just in awe. It was just like what I've seen on the Word of Faith magazines, you know. It was just like, oh, when I walked there on the campus. You guys experienced that? You know, it's just an amazing, beautiful place. But it is a ministry filled with people. And so I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you guys a story really quick, but I want you guys to understand there is a victory side, and it had to do with my obedience to the Lord. Now, again, every, you know, churches are filled with people who are imperfect, leaders who are imperfect and make, you know, sometimes make bad decisions because we are imperfect. And so here's the story here. I want you guys to take this story to heart, but understand that it's just a ministry made of people. God has called them to do great things. They're making an impact. We are making an impact all over the world with over 80,000 graduates at Rhema Bible College. I mean, we're all over. Pastor Miss Lynette right now are traveling over there across the seas, man. They're visiting churches and I mean, they're doing Rhema churches. They're doing amazing. You are a part of something that's so big, you have no idea, okay? And so I love Pastor and Pastor Miss Lynette. They are father parents to me, spiritual parents to me. While I was at Rhema, I had a job. I was working, and, you know, I had an opportunity to work for Rhema. Now, all the years that I was with them, I had volunteered my time with them. And so here's this opportunity for me to work for them, and I was totally excited. I got a job there, and that job lasted for 4 days. And so for 4 days, and people really don't know this story. This is a part of my testimony. There's a victory side to it. So I got this job, and I'm, you know, learning the job, and I'm excited because I'm working for the ministry that I love. And on that fourth day, I had a meeting with the boss man, not pastor, one of the other guys there. And he said, listen, we're going to have to let you go because we have someone else that better fits this position than you. Now, I have quit my job that I was working. You know where I'm going. And I shared a story with everyone this past weekend. From that moment, I entered into a place of I was homeless for 3 months because I didn't have a job. I was sleeping, I was going to school and everything, teaching school of the Bible, and I didn't have a job because I quit my job, started this job, 3 days later, got let go, and now, you know, I don't have a place to stay. After a few months, I lost my place where I was living, my car was repossessed, you know, I just hit some hard times. An opportunity for me to hate what God had called me to had arisen. So we're going to take a few moments today and look at a subject that I believe that is plaguing the church. It's not a popular subject. It's not a subject that most pastors, preachers don't want to get up and talk about, you know, because it's not the most fun subject to talk about. But I believe once we get an understanding and a revelation of who we are and why we're here, we will begin to protect what God has given us. You know, it's not a public, you know, it's not a popular subject to talk about. And a lot of leaders either have been either ignorant to the effects of this subject or have shied away from talking about that. And that subject is called church hurt. Have anybody ever been hurt by the church before? Yeah? I mean, opportunity was wide awake for me to be hurt by this church, hurt by this ministry, this awesome ministry. And God has revealed to me that there are three things that Satan has been using to tear down the church, and that is rejection, that's fear, and that is unforgiveness. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about those three subjects. So let me just go through and give you a little synopsis of what church hurt is. Church hurt, it occurs when you've been a victim of abuse of power in the church. This abuse of power can be anything from sexual assault to molestation to physical manipulation. The church hurt is also being burned by the church or overly worked. It's also when you feel judged by people in leadership and those who are not. When people in the church are inconsistent or contradicting. You know what I'm talking about. When someone in the church, you know, weren't there for you in your loneliest moments, when you're led wrongly by someone in the church. These are just examples of what church hurt is. Even pastors get church hurt. They get hurt by their own churches. One guarantee that I can tell you right now is that anytime you're committing to a local community, a local church, that is, it's sooner or later, it will hurt. Anytime you get connected to the local church, you will encounter some type of church hurt. And let me state the obvious. The church is made up of people. And we are not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect people. All the perfect people are in heaven. One of my instructors said that to me years ago, and it just stuck with me, and it literally brought me freedom. All the perfect people are in heaven. We're here on earth striving for wholeness, not perfection, but wholeness. We're trying to get into the word and be obedient to the word, but yet sometimes we just make mistakes, and thank God for his grace and his mercy and his love and forgiving. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Listen, you put a group of people just like you are. You put a group of people of diverse ages, backgrounds, convictions, and personalities, and ethnicities, and all the sin struggles and relationships together in one room. It's going to get messy quickly. Everybody got an opinion. Everybody got different backgrounds. That's the beauty of the church. You get a group of people that are just totally messy, and we get totally submerged in the Word of God to become like-minded Christians. Are you with me? That's our purpose when we get here. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. So we are saints, and we come together. So what do? When church hurt begins to happen, we're going to get there before the end of this service. I'm going to share some things with you. Now, since we're all capable of doing damage, it is unreasonable to expect the church environment to be pain-free. Listen, there are people in this room right now that are experiencing hurt. And you know what they say, hurt people hurt people. We're all dealing with some kind of craziness. We all dealt with some things that are in the past and that have some type of roots there, and we're all trying to figure it all out. Listen, just like you want grace, you have to be willing to give grace. Are you following me this morning? We're going to talk about church hurt. Let's pray real quick. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for meeting us here this morning. You are here, and because you're here, where your spirit is, there is freedom. And so, Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that you're healing hearts and minds, Father. You're healing hearts and mending minds right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that not one life leaves out the exact same way that they walked in. But wisdom, revelation, and knowledge takes place today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn over to Mark 14:32. Anybody got the Bibles this morning? That is so awesome. Who got the Bibles this morning? Yes, it's nothing like having a Bible, you know. I don't have my Bible up here. I got my notes here. Some of us use our Bibles on our phones. I see, Pastor, you got your Bible on your phone over there? Yeah. Mark 14:32-42. I'm going to be reading the Amplified version here, and we're talking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, stay with me. We're going to plow through this for the next few minutes. Verse 32, again, Mark 14:32-42. Then they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit down here until I have prayed. He took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled, extremely anguished at the prospect of what was to come. Verse 34, and he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved and overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. After going a little further, Jesus fell down to the ground, distressed by the weight of his spiritual burden, and began to pray that if it was possible, in the Father's will, the hour of suffering and death for the sins of mankind might pass for him. Verse 36, he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup of judgment away from me, but not my will, your will be done. And he came back and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Were you unable to keep watch for 1 hour? Keep actively watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And so he went off again to go pray, saying the same words again. And he came back and found them sleeping because their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know how to answer Jesus. And he came back a third time and said to them, are you sleeping and resting? Enough of that. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, my betrayer is near me. There's a few things I want to point out here that sometimes I want to give you a different perspective here. Now, Jesus trusted the disciples, especially the three, the ones that he told to keep watch. He trusted these guys so much. He brought those three specifically for a reason. He trusts them. And he asked them to do one simple thing, to just keep watch. And yet here they are falling asleep. He tried three times and they're falling asleep. They couldn't even keep watch, pray with their leader. Have you ever been, you know, have you ever once trusted anyone in the church to this effect, you know? Have you ever once asked somebody from the church something and expected them to come through on your behalf and the church didn't? When my father passed away, I was 13 years old. And I was involved in the church at that time, too. I went to a big church there in Michigan. I was a part of the youth department, over 1,000 kids, leading worship. I was a part of this youth. And what was really crazy is at the funeral, nobody came from the youth department. None of my leaders came to my father's funeral. Now, I just expected, you know, to have that support, but no one was there. Opportunity number one for me to have this church hurt of rejection. Are you with me this morning? Just like Jesus expected of his disciples to do what he asked, he couldn't even get a response from them. They were so sleepy. Now, Jesus found that those who he trusted to keep watch failed to do what he asked. They didn't do their part, but Jesus asked them a second time. Jesus didn't fear that they would fail him a second time. He went back to those that failed him and asked them for his help, for their help again. And when Jesus saw that they failed him a second time, is it possible that in Jesus' anguish and depression, that this added to his depression? Did you know that Jesus had a moment of depression in this moment? I mean, totally anguished. They say in the studies that he sweat blood. He was so filled with anxiety and pressure. He was totally overwhelmed. And now his three dudes that he trusted the most didn't even want to pray for him and with him in this time. And after Jesus went and prayed a third time, he left the disciples asleep and knows that he didn't say, I'm done with you. When he came back the third time, Jesus didn't say, okay, I'm done with y'all. You guys don't love me. You could care less about what I'm going through, about my depression and my hurt and what I'm about to face and my pain. You don't care about my feelings. You don't care. He didn't say that. What did Jesus do? Jesus showed his frustration, but he didn't just leave them. He went back and woke them up and took them with him. Even in Jesus' depression, Jesus found it possible to forgive, to walk in love. And after the second time of sleeping, Jesus could have said, I'm going to find another three, but he didn't. He said, listen, I'm going back to get the three that failed me. I'm going to take them with me. Now, this is a very important lesson for you to learn this morning, because like we said, people aren't perfect. The church isn't perfect. And what we have here is we have people getting hurt by the church on a constant basis. People, because people aren't perfect. So-and-so said something. So-and-so judged me here. So-and-so did this. So-and-so talked about me behind my back. And what's happening is that the people are dropping like flies, you know. They're going to try to find another church, and now they're going to find other churches with this baggage of fear and rejection. Are you listening to me this morning? No, what Jesus did, this is the perfect example. He went and got those three and took those three with him. Listen, just because you've been hurt by the church and people, you have to have grace and mercy and walk in forgiveness. You got to go back to those people and say, you all are my family. That hurt me. This hurt me, but listen, you're my family. We're prayer partners together. We're in this together. Come on, go on this journey with me. Don't just be so quick to run just because somebody gave you some attitude in the morning time, on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. You've got to be stronger than that. And, with all of that, history goes on with Jesus knew that Peter would even deny him, but Jesus still never left Peter behind because Jesus saw the bigger picture. You've got to see the bigger picture. It's not just about you. It's about you collectively joining others, walking in forgiveness and love for the greater purpose. Jesus knew that there was a greater purpose. Know that your fears will block your vision and your heart from God's bigger picture. Your fears of rejection will block your vision to see what God is trying to do through you. Listen, if Satan can cause you to have multiple fears when it comes to the church, you've allowed him to keep you from what God hath ordained. And God has ordained the church. He ordained the church. He's the one that started the church. He's the one that encouraged the church. And so when you allow your fears to get in the way of you being a part of the body, you're slapping God in the face. Because he's ordained. I'll never forget Pastor Creflo Dollar, I remember listening to one of his sermons one day, and man, he got really bold. And he said, some of you guys don't even like me. Some of you guys don't even like the praise and worship at this church. It's too black for you. He said, but God has called you here. You're anointed to be here. And so you've got to take that as a real deal there, that you're anointed to be in this church and you have a part to play. And don't let the enemy get in the way of you doing your part in this church, in the local body. This is what God has ordained. The church, the body of believers coming together, was a God idea, submitting to a leader. Having a pastor, that is a God's idea. That's God's plan and has always been his plan from the very beginning. How many times have we seen in the Word of God where God appointed leaders to lead people? Can you just imagine Moses with all these people? Was it 40,000 people? He's got to lead all these people. Now you're talking about all these people with all kinds of mentality differences. He had to deal with all those people. And sometimes those people will come at him. We've been traveling all these years and we haven't found the promised land. You know what I mean? Like all of the complaining and murmuring. And listen, rejection and fear causes anxiety and depression. Rejection causes you to accept the spirit of fear. And it's unforgiveness that is out to kill you, out to destroy you. Rejection causes you to open up and accept the spirit of fear. We've all dealt with rejection. And we've got to be careful to not let it sit in. Because then you open up the door for fear to seep in. 2 Timothy 1:7, again, I'm reading the Amplified Version. It says, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity or cowardice, but he has given you a spirit of power, of love, and sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Come on, somebody. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but he's giving you power, love, and a sound mind to make good choices. He gave you a sound mind, power, and love to forgive, to walk in love. Like I said before, people are leaving the church, harming the church, coming against the church because they have been rejected. And fear has set in, and now they're relentless in their unforgiveness towards the church. Let's talk about rejection for a little bit. Acts 15, 36 through 41. Y'all following me this morning? Acts 15, 36 through 41. I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm reading the Living Bible Version. Several days later, Paul suggested to Barnabas that they return to Turkey and visit each city where they had preached before to see how the new converts were getting along. Now, they had started on a ministry conquest here, okay? So they're about to go out and start more churches and things of that nature, and Paul's got his crew with him, his ministry buddy, and they're going from place to place checking on the churches to see how they're doing. Verse 37, Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul didn't like that idea at all, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia. See, they were on a ministry deal, and they had previously took John Mark with them. But what John Mark did, he did his own little thing. He was supposed to be there in ministry with them, but John Mark separated and did his own thing, went into the city, and then met back with them. And Paul didn't like that, because John Mark wasn't about their business. He was doing his own little thing. He went on and did his own thing. And so there in verse 39, it says, their disagreement over this was so sharp that they separated. When I did more studies in this, it said that it even came close to blows. It came close to them actually fighting each other, physically fighting each other. Come on, we're talking about church drama amongst the ministers. For real. The disagreement over this was so sharp that they separated, and Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus, while Paul chose Silas and with blessing of the believers, left for Syria and Sicilia to encourage the churches there. Drama in the Bible. Paul, Barnabas, out of starting churches, ministering to almost everyone that they came in contact, and at some point, John Mark began to travel with them, but John Mark wanted to do his own thing. But Paul didn't like that and probably thought it was disrespectful for Barnabas to even want to bring John Mark on this next trip. So Paul was like, nope, he ain't going with me. Not going to happen. Not letting him go with me. See, Paul was about the business, right? So let me ask you this. Was Paul correct about his judgment towards John Mark? Paul judged John Mark based upon his past. He's not worthy to travel with me. I'm not taking him on this ministry trip with me. Can you imagine how John Mark had to feel? I'm sure that there was a little bit of hurt that was there by Paul's decision to not allow him to travel. But not only that, John Mark ultimately calls the first disagreement and division among the apostles. Wow. Isn't that crazy? The first question that a person asks after they've been rejected. Now, this was a form of rejection among the disciples, among the apostles. The first question that anybody wants to understand or want to get clarity on when they have been rejected is, why did this happen? What did I do? Isn't there grace? Isn't there forgiveness? I'm sorry. Rejection hurts, you understand? I want to give you a little bit of facts on rejection. I did a little study on rejection because, you know, rejection is, it started out from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. If I have time, we'll get there. And I'm going to be talking about it tonight. I'm going to be talking about fear. Rejection piggybacks, now listen very closely, rejection piggybacks on physical pain pathways in the brain. MRI studies show that the same areas of the brain become activated when we experience rejection as when we experience physical pain. Isn't that crazy? This is why rejection hurts so much. Because it when you hurt your toe, that baby toe, man, I'm telling you, when you hurt it, it hurts. And it signals something in your brain. And the same time when you get rejected by someone, it goes to that same spot from when you hurt the baby toe. Here's another thing. We can relive and re-experience social pain more vividly than we can physical pain. If you try right now to revisit or experience That pain that you felt, that significant pain that you felt when you fell and hurt your knee or you hurt your elbow or you hit your head, you won't be able to do it. You won't be able to feel physically that pain again. But try reliving rejection. Actually, don't do that right now. Just take my word for it. Just don't do that. But we do it unconsciously all the time. And we relive that pain of that hurt of who said what and why they did this. And you'll be flooded with many of the same feelings you had at the time. And your brain will respond much as it did at the time of that physical pain or that rejection. See, our brain prioritized rejection experience because we are social animals who live in tribes. I mean, we are social people. God created us to do life together. We have a desire to be a part of something. Are you following me? And so when we're rejected from our tribe, when we're rejected from our crew, it hurts. Barnabas was a part of the crew, and Paul was like, no, you do your own thing. Now, you're not going with me. That hurt. I'm pretty sure that hurt. Listen to this. It says, rejection destabilizes our need to belong. We have a fundamental need to belong to a group. When we get rejected, this need becomes destabilized, and the disconnection we feel adds to more emotional pain. And then there was this study that rejection creates surges of anger and aggression. And in 2001, the Surgeon General of the U.S. issued a report stating that rejection was a greater risk for adolescent violence than drugs. Wow, let me say that again. A report was issued stating that rejection was a greater risk for adolescent violence than drugs. Poverty and or gang membership. Isn't that crazy? Rejection sends us on a mission to seek and destroy our self-esteem. Blaming ourselves and attacking our self-worth only deepens emotional pain we feel and makes it harder for us to recover emotionally. And so we get to this deep place where rejection, it causes us to not be able to respond to reason. They did a study that put these people in a study deal. They did an experiment in which they were rejected by strangers. So these people knew that they were going to be rejected by strangers. They did this experiment. It's a funny experiment, right? And they said that in this study, even though they knew that they were going to be rejected and they were rejected, they still held on to the pain. There was still that pain, even though they knew that they were going to be rejected, it still triggered that part, that sensor in your mind, that part in your mind where physical pain begins. Rejection is something that the enemy will use to take you out, to get you off course. Enemy is going to use that, I'm telling you. So you've got to be very careful. Getting to the root of your rejection, neglection, low self-worth feelings that are connected to your emotions and through the veins of fear will begin the process of purging. And the fears of rejection and low self-worth stems or is connected to something that has happened to you in your past or something you've even seen on TV. Listen to this really closely. If you're not careful, rejection can cause you to feel unworthy and cause you to be unwilling. You enter into this place of stubbornness. So this is where a lot of people in the church get get into this place of rejection, and they get into this place of being unwilling. I'm not going to that church. And every other church that they go to, they have this thing of, well, they did that. Oh, I see it right there. That's how I got hurt. I'm not coming here. And they go to another church, and before you know it, they're going from church to church to church. They're desiring something from the Lord, but they're not willing. They can't be open to the love and the forgiveness or the healing of God because they're still holding on to the rejection. How can God heal you from what you've been hurt by if you don't forgive? Rejection speaks what if, how, I'm scared, I can't, I'm not good enough, which are all lies. Understand that rejection should hold no weight. Rejection should never stop you. Why? Because rejection is going to happen. It's going to happen. You will be rejected. I'm just going to keep it real with you this morning. You're going to be rejected. I've already stated before that you live in a world full of people who are imperfect, who will tell you no, who would say, I don't like what you have on, who would tell you your hair doesn't look good, who would tell you those shoes don't look good, they don't fit your style, whatever. You will get rejected. People are going to tell you their opinion of you, and that is going to set you into a place of, dang, they just rejected me. You're going to get rejection. Rejection is going to happen. Rejection is the initial seed that starts every negative feeling and emotion we feel. And Satan has used rejection from the beginning of time. So I'm going to share with you real quick, just a little bit, in Genesis 3, and we'll go a little deeper in this tonight for those who are able to come tonight that are in the age group that, you know, we have. Or whatever. So I don't know. He may release that. I don't know. In Genesis 3, Satan asked Eve, did God tell you that you could not eat of that tree? Just that question Satan asked the little snake. Ask, did God tell you that you couldn't eat of that tree? From that question, that ignited something in Eve's brain. It sowed the seed of rejection and the seed that God was trying to keep something from her. Are you with me tonight or this morning? That question sowed the seed. Did God tell you that you couldn't eat of that tree? Eve knew already that God said, you got all these other trees, just don't touch that one. The seed that God was trying to keep something from her, that seed of rejection was alive and well. And it was at that point that Eve may have felt rejection. Eve saw and believed that the tree was good. She feared that she was missing out on something. Fear of missing out. That's called FOMO. That's a real deal, y'all. She feared she was missing out on something, something greater. And it was at that point that she walked into or opened up herself to rejection. The Bible even says that the tree became desirable to her. Before that, it wasn't desirable until Satan's sneaky butt got in there and put that question out there. When you overcome rejection in this life, you will complete the task that God has for you to do. You will accept your position as his child and use the power he has bestowed upon you regardless of all the rejection that may come your way. When you overcome rejection, you become relentless. When you overcome rejection, you become relentless. You keep going to the church regardless of what so-and-so said to you. You keep going to the church and praising the Lord. You become relentless. But you got to get over that rejection. God is calling for you to be relentless, not to be stagnant, not to be lost. He's called you to be relentless in your faith. Now, understand that not all rejection is bad. You have to be able to see when good rejection is before you. So let's just take a moment and look at that. When God said, don't eat of that tree, you got the rest of these trees here, there was a lesson to be learned there. There was a lesson to be learned there, that God is a God of order, and you've just got to trust what he tells you to do. There's a lesson to be learned there. You have to be able to see when there's good rejection and when there's bad rejection. Yes, God initially rejected, if you want to put it this way, Adam and Eve from that one tree. But look at all the other trees that they had. That tree wasn't meant for them. And sometimes some things aren't meant for you. We can go a little deeper on that. There's some things in this world that's at the corner store that's not meant for you. Everybody else is doing it, and it's not meant for them either. But you're a part of the body of Christ, and God has set things in order. And he's telling you that's not meant for you. That's not for you. And sometimes we want to get into this place where God, they look like they're having so much fun, and that is calming down their fears and their pains, and I want to take a sip of this and do that, and, you know, they're doing it, and it works for them. Some things just aren't meant for you, and you just got to trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit, come on, somebody, to give you what you need. So that right there was good rejection. There was a lesson to be learned from God at that moment. God is rejecting you from what the enemy has put out there, and that's good rejection. Are you with me tonight or this morning? Rejection will stop you from your blessings. So many are living in a jail cell due to rejection. So many are living in a box due to rejection. And the seed of rejection creates fear. And fear builds walls. And walls keeps you boxed in. Keeps you from moving forward. And what happens here is rejection igniting fear, entering into fear. Fear ignites unforgiveness. And we already know what the Word of God says about unforgiveness, don't we, over there in Mark 11, 23, 24? We've got to be really careful, church. We've got to be really careful of where we're headed and protect our hearts and protect what God has ordained. Don't allow, you know, hurt and pain from people in the church keep you from what God has ordained for you. This is for you. Family is for you. The church is for you. What we lack is communication. And we've got to learn how to communicate with our brothers and sisters and allow forgiveness to flow through you and receive forgiveness. You're not perfect. Just like you've received rejection and hurt and pain, you have rejected someone and you have caused hurt and pain. And like I said before, if you want to have forgiveness and you want there to be grace on your life, you've got to be willing to give it and have it for others. But we lack communication in the church. We're so quick to just run. God has not given you a spirit of fear. You have to be able to face those things right in your face. You have to be able to face it. So here's the thing. We've got to be able to communicate, and we've got to be able to listen, and we've got to be able to say, I'm sorry. Whether you feel like you've done wrong or not to someone you may have offended, you've got to be willing to say, I'm sorry. I love you. I didn't mean it that way. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. We're family. And that can be hard. That can be hard to do, and that is okay. But just do it. And do it by the Spirit of God, not by your might. Not by your power, but by the Spirit of God. Let God lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You know what? When I got fired, well, let go, because I was only there for 4 days. When I got let go from the church, I mean, I'm telling you, there was all kind of, why did this just happen? I'm so mad, and now I've lost my place, and now I don't have a car, and I don't have any money, and I'm sleeping on my friend's futon, all because I quit my job to do this. Man, I'm telling you, I mean, it was, but you know what? God is so good. I thank God for his love and the word and the seed that was been planted in me ever since I was a baby, that forgiveness is your way to victory. Come on, somebody. And they had to protect. They had to do what they had to do. Are you with me this morning? If they felt like I wasn't the man for the job or that they needed someone else to get in there, that is their prerogative. They got to protect what they got to do. To this day, I have no idea. But let me tell you something. That didn't stop me. And I thank God for his mercy, his grace, his love, and his empowerment. That didn't stop me from pushing on with the ministry. I still went to church every day. I still served my leaders. I still honored my pastors and my leaders and those that were ahead of me. I still kept being involved in everything that I was a part of. I didn't let that situation and my homelessness and all of the heartache and pain keep me away from what God had for me. And look at me here today. Do you understand that could have caused me to say, peace, Rhema, I don't like you. You did this to me. You weren't being led by the Holy Spirit. That could have caused me to go against the church. And we already know that there are people that are coming against the church like crazy. People don't even realize that Satan is using them to come against what God has ordained. And you've got to be careful that you don't do this. Protect the church. Protect what God has given. Protect the church at all cost. You know, we got to go here in a second. I lived in Columbus, Georgia, and Fort Benning is there. And I got to speak with a lot of guys who were in the Army in America. And a lot of those guys, man, they have experienced some crazy, y'all come on, some crazy things from their leaders, from their brothers and sisters. They've seen crazy and experienced crazy things. But they have indebted themselves to the Army. Even some of those guys that have gotten out and they're living their lives and they're doing it, they have this pact. There's something that's going in there that have been put in them that keeps them still protecting the Army. Some of these guys won't say nothing bad about the Army. Even though the Army destroyed their lives to a certain extent and, you know, messed up their minds and things, they are just, listen, I'm a part of this country. I fought for this country. I served this country. There are things that they will not say. Even though it is their truth and it is what they've went through, there are things that they still are going to protect. And we've got to have the same mind. Like I said over the past week, we are in the army of the Lord. And let family deal with family stuff. Don't go to the world expecting them to give you what God can only give you. Don't go comparing the world love to God kind of love. You understand what I'm saying? Let family deal with family stuff and be strengthened with each other. And let some good counsel go forth. Are you following me? I'm talking about protecting the church. So we're going to close here real quick. I'm going to tell you something, overcoming church hurt. First off, you got to know who the enemy is. The real enemy is Satan. Satan has hated God from the very beginning, and he wants to destroy or at least diminish the church because it's God's chosen instrument to grow his kingdom. So Satan is constantly after it. Satan wants to tear down the church as fast as Jesus can build it. Satan is the true enemy. Your real enemy is not the pastor. Your real enemy is not Brother Jerry and Dr. Bubba and, you know, Sally Lynn. It's not, your real enemy is not these people. Your real enemy is Satan. And if you were hurt in the church, know that there's a spirit that calls that. And sometimes it's just people's ignorance. It's just our ignorance. We don't even know what we're saying. You know, there have been many people that I've walked past in church, and I'm just so focused on what I got to do, I didn't say hi to them. And next thing you know, 2 months down the road, I haven't seen them. And I see him at Walmart. And I got my pajamas on, and I see him at Walmart. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? Oh, now you want to say hi to me? What are you talking about? I walked past you in church, and you didn't even say anything to me. In fact, you even looked at me, and that's why I don't even go to that church anymore. Are you joking me? Come on. Come on over here and give me a hug. Come on, let's pray together right now. Because of the lack of communication, you didn't say hi to me. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just focused. I got to get over here to the praise and worship. I'm late and I got to go take care. You know, come on, you just got to be able to communicate. Sometimes it's us as people in our ignorance. Sometimes there's a spirit that has gotten in the church, and you've got to be so connected to the Spirit of God that he's able to open up your eyes and see, oh, that's a spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit. I come against that. And you start praying again. Do your part in the church to protect the church. Be connected to the spirit. You following me this morning? Yeah. Your real enemy is, like I said, is not, you know, the real enemy is Satan. And the first thing you do whenever you are hurt by someone in the church is you take it to God. The hurt you feel, it is real. It is real. Don't just put a mask on things. Deal with the hurt, and don't do it alone. Do it with God. Call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble. That's what Psalms 50 says. Have a conversation with God and get real with him. God is really and willing and ready to help you. If you've been hurt, go to God. Run to him. He wants to help. He wants to love on you. He wants to show you how to make it through this moment. He wants to heal you from this moment. Are you with me? It's real simple. It may sound cliche, but sometimes the most cliche things are our foundation. They're our pillars of faith. If this is your church, you protect this church. If this is your church, how many of you belong to this church? You protect this church. You pray for this church. You pray for your pastors. And you treat this church as your family. You do life together. You talk about things. Don't go, if someone comes to you and they're telling you personal things, it's not your job to go talk to it about to somebody else. Do what God would do. Pray with them. Love on them. I mean, this is family. Protect the church. Protect the body. You know, the numbers in America in the church is dying down. At one point, it was at, 93% Christian, and now we're falling, I believe, under 70%. Because people are being hurt, and they don't know how to deal with their hurt. They don't trust God enough to run to him. Run to the Lord. Run to the Lord. Yeah, with open arms. What does the Bible say? Draw nigh unto him and he'll draw nigh unto you. You take the first step. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace this morning. We thank you, Father God, for encouraging us this morning, giving us wisdom and revelation and knowledge on how to live and live life abundantly, Father. I pray right now for those that are dealing with rejection in their hearts, those that are dealing with unforgiveness and fear in their heart. I pray right now, if they're dealing, anybody that's dealing with this, I pray, open up your hearts right now and receive the love of God. Receive his mercy, receive his grace, receive his instructions right now. Satan, you take your hands off the church. You take your hands off these minds. You take your hands and your cohorts, you must go in the name of Jesus. You cannot stay in these minds. These minds belong to the Lord. These hearts belong to the Lord. You get out in the name of Jesus. I pray right now that hearts are being mended and minds are being mended and things are just changing right now in the hearts of these here today. Speak to their hearts right now. Speak to their minds right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak right now. If there's anything that is troubling these today, Father, speak to their heart. The church will stand firm. The church will stand firm. We will trust you, Father. We believe your truth. We believe your word. We believe your word. Speak to our hearts right now, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory to your name, Jesus. You're healing hearts this morning. Yeah, you're healing hearts. You're mending hearts this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We submit to your word, Father God. We submit and surrender to your word this morning, Father. We trust you. We love you. We believe in you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, and we give you all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to come and build you all up this morning. Hallelujah. I thank you guys for being responsive. Sometimes you go and you travel with churches and they just sit and look at you like, who are, like, you know, what? But you guys are an awesome church, man. And I just commend you guys. Ah, it's just beautiful. It's so beautiful just to look out and see y'all's faces here this morning. We love you guys. We thank you for coming to this church and being a part of this church. Continue to build this church. Invite your friends. Be excited about where God has you. Amen. Is there anybody in here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Anybody? All right. Come on. Hallelujah. We're full of believers in here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, love you guys. God bless you.